Have another song, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Thank y'all for coming. I know a lot of people stayed home, and I wouldn't have stayed home tonight. I'd have been afraid if I stayed home tonight. I'd have crawled in here if I had to, because I wouldn't want nobody to think I stayed home and watched a football game. Amen. 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 All right, let's see if we can get this one to work. Is this one working? Is this working? Okay. All right. Boy, what a blessing we had here today. I'm talking a blessing. Not only did we have a house full, we had a spirit full house. And the Lord showed up and moved on people. Nobody came forward, but I could tell he was working on them. And, tonight, I'll try not to take up much of your time. I read the other day where, I can't remember which one it was. One of these movie stars married a guy, and they was married 2 weeks. And they separated, getting a divorce after 2 weeks. I thought, boy, she didn't know him or he didn't know her one. Something wrong there. Amen. And so sometimes people want church services to be like Hollywood marriages. They want to be short and fun. That's it. Over. Done. But it ain't always that way. Sometimes we have to, I preached a long time today. I really did. And I always say the longer I preach, the longer I preach. You know, I've been preaching 37 years, and the longer I preach, the longer I want to preach. I can't help it. And sometimes I'll go to churches, and some preacher will stand up, and he'll say, well, I really shouldn't even be up here. I really just, and I want to say, well, shut up and sit down. I'll preach. Let me do it. I'll enjoy it. Amen. But anyway, I love John chapter 14. I'm sure you do. I've used it a lot at funerals. You heard it a lot at funerals. But I'm not preaching a funeral sermon tonight. But I want to preach you, though, some reasons on why we should not be troubled. We live in a troubled time. Like the old poem, you know, it's the best of times, but it's the worst of times also. Financially, materially, I guess it's the best times we've ever seen. But spiritually, it's the darkest time we've ever seen. And like Job said, man's days are few and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We all have trouble. Don't think that you're the only one that has trouble. And don't think that you're the only one that don't like trouble. None of us like it, and all of us have it. Amen? It's the curse of sin that causes trouble. And people ask me, why'd God do this? I said, God didn't do that. The devil did that. Sin did that. It's sin that bringeth forth death. And if it wasn't for sin, there wouldn't even be any death. There wouldn't be any trouble. Amen? And so don't blame these things on God. But let's read chapter 14, if you will. Let's just start with verse 1. Jesus is there, and he's preaching to his disciples. He's trying to prepare them for what's about to happen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, Amen. The truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me because I live, but ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that cometh, I'm sorry, my page is so wrinkled I can't read the words. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, that means the other Judas, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the inspiration of the scriptures right there. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And he went on the journey to the cross from there. Amen. Now let's forget everything out yonder. Forget the football game. I already know who won. I'll go ahead and tell you so you don't have to worry. Whoever gets the most points will win. So just let it go, okay? Now, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples. He's on the way to the cross. He gives this message to them right before his death. And he's trying to comfort them about what they're about to go through. And they're going to have a troubled heart. He knows that. Now, a troubled heart, listen to me, young people, a troubled heart will have three things it'll do to us. I thought about this. Number one, it'll give us doubting and a fretful spirit, and it'll take the joy right out of us. To fret. You know what the fret is. You know, worry about things. And to fret over them. And number two, it makes that which is bad worse when you fret over something. You don't know how many nights have we laid awake and fretted, worried about things, and get up the next day and it never come to pass. Yep. And I think I wasted 3 hours of my life worrying about something that never happened. Amen. He says, so it makes that which is bad worse. And then I thought about this, it dishonors God. It dishonors God when we fret about things. And I know we're human, and I know we're in the flesh and the mind and all that stuff. But listen, when we worry about things, when he said, don't worry about it, he said, look at those little sparrows. I take care of them. Look at the flowers in the field. I take care of them. What are you worried about? Don't you think I'll feed you and clothe you? We shouldn't fret. It dishonors the promises of God. Now, here's some reasons that I thought we should not be troubled. Number one, because of the home that is awaiting us. Go back there, if you will, at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. By the way, if you've got a translation, it says rooms. Go get you a King James Bible. I want a mansion. I don't want a room. I've had a room, and God promised me a mansion. I grew up on the poor side of town. Don't narrow my reward down to a stinking room. He's going to give me a mansion. Amen. And he said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, when we worry about things and when we fret and get all troubled about stuff, we shouldn't do that, because we know the end from the beginning. We know how this thing ends. I mean, go to the back of the book and read. We win. We're winners. We sing that song, I'm on the winning side. We cannot lose. He said, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. He said, I give unto you eternal life. You'll never die. You're going to live long as God lives. God would have to die for you to die. And so we shouldn't be worrying and fretting and troubled all the time, because we know we've got a home waiting on us on the other side. Now, some of the best Christians you'll ever meet are those that have very little down here, and they're looking forward to that mansion on the other side. Amen? And boy, now some of the worst Christians we'll ever see are those who are eat, drink, be merry, you know, and they think they've got everything they need, but they don't know. Like Jesus, I preached it this morning. One day he's going to say, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who's going to get all your stuff, he said. So we know the end from the beginning. We know that we're going to win. We know that heaven waits for us, and we know that eternal bliss and eternal blessings, so we should not be troubled. Boy, this Iran stuff, you know, and the China stuff and the Russia stuff. When we were, a lot of us were kids, you know, those baby boomers, we'd be in elementary school. I remember all through elementary school, those horns would go off and bells would go off, and they'd say, get up under your desk and hide your head. And here's a little old 10-year-old kid. He don't know what a bomb is. He doesn't know what a Russian looks like. he don't know none of that stuff, and he's sitting there with his head under his desk, and he don't know if they did drop the bomb, he'd have melted like wax. Amen. That desk wouldn't have helped you a bit under that desk. Amen. And boy, if anything, they worried us more than they helped us. Amen. But hey, now, because I've been saved by the grace of God, and the Spirit of God lives in me, and he gives me the mind of God, and I know the way, I know I'm going to heaven, so the worst thing can happen to me is I die and I get to go to heaven. Amen. Amen. I said this morning, you can't threaten me with heaven. I'm going, matter of fact, as far as he's concerned, he's already said it in Ephesians, that we're in heavenly places and seated in Christ Jesus. I got a seat waiting on me up there already. Got my name on it. Reserved. Clarence. Go ahead and laugh. Clarence. Ronald Roddy, Clarence Ronald Roddy. If you ever forget my name, go to Walmart. They have Clarence sales. But I've got my name in heaven. I'm not worried about it. The worst thing can happen to me is I die and I go to heaven. Amen. And then we ought not be troubled, because look at verse 4, if you will. And whether I go, you know, and look at this. And the way, you know. Yes. Now, I know the perfect way. Amen. I don't just know a way. A lot of people are trying to follow a way of life, a way to get to heaven or nirvana or whatever they want to call it, you know. But I know the perfect way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And why would I be troubled about anything when I'm following the perfect way? And nothing can happen to me except it goes through his hands first. Amen. Now, I'm not saying everything feels good. You know, all things work together for the good of them that love God, called according to his purpose, but it's not all good. But it all turns out good. Amen. It don't all feel good, doesn't always look good, but in the end, if you follow the perfect way, you'll end up in a perfect place for eternity, and you don't have to worry about anything. Amen. So he was telling his disciples, now it's going to get rough, They're going to try to get you off the straight and narrow. They're going to persecute you. They're going to kill you. They're going to try to get you to stop preaching my name. He said, but listen, I'm the way. Just keep following me. I'm the way. And all those disciples stuck to it. And every one of them died a death professing the name of Jesus Christ. They lost everything they had. And they died terrible deaths. And look, they died in the way. None of them got out of the way. None of them quit. None of them backed up. None of them apologized for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were in the way. Now, once you get in the way of Christ, those other ways won't bother you anymore. And people come around and say, well, what about the way they're doing? I don't care what they're doing. I'm on the perfect way. Well, what about that crowd over there? What they doing? You know, trying to overthrow the president. I don't care what they're doing. I'm in the perfect way. You can't get me off my way. I'm on that way to heaven, and I'm following the perfect one to get there, and he is the way. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm not going to worry about a whole lot. Let them drop the bomb. I'm not worried about it. By the way, I don't think they can. Number one, I think we can stop them. But also, I think God can stop them.
Yes. Amen.
I believe he has before. Amen? Can you imagine the thousands of people that have hated America and tried to destroy us, and because we've got the Word of God and the way of the Lord Jesus Christ and we preach the gospel, God protects this nation.
Yeah.
Now, I know everybody in this nation is not a believer. I didn't used to be one myself. But as long as this nation's putting out the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will protect this nation.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm not going to be troubled because of, the home that's waiting on me. And I'm not going to be troubled because of the way that I'm in. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I might look like a nut to you, but I'm following the right one. I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen?
Amen.
Now, as long as I know the way, I cannot miss that destination. You ever notice this? You preach in nursing home a lot. You preach in nursing home a lot. Some of you go to the nursing home a lot. Those people down there they'll forget just about everything. But you start singing an old gospel hymn. They know every word. You start singing, oh how I love Jesus. They won't miss a beat.
That's right.
I used to preach in a nursing home when I was a young guy down here behind the Bowwaters. They got an old nursing home down there. I called it the County Poorhouse. And, while I was preaching, this guy, boy, before I'd get to preaching, I'd go in there and talk to people. And this guy, he walked around like this all the time. He walked all the time. Up and down the halls. He just walked. Outside, he'd walk. He didn't talk to anybody. He didn't communicate with anybody, didn't mingle with anybody. He just walked all the time, all over that place, up and down the hall. And you could try to speak to him, and he wouldn't even look at you. And you'd get down there and look up at him. He wouldn't look at you. He'd try to shake his hand. He'd just drop that hand, and he'd walk. He'd walk. And I'd go in there, and there's an old lady. She was about 90 years old. I can't remember her name, but I'm not good at singing, but I had to leave the singing. So I said, anybody here play piano? And this old lady came up, and she had rheumatoid arthritis, her fingers were all twisted, everything. She said, preacher, I can play the piano. I played the piano for over 20 years at my church. I said, amen, get over there. By then, I didn't care if she played it with her toes. You know, I didn't care. And, boy, she played it beautifully. She played it beautifully. And we'd sing those old hymns, and I didn't know it at first. For a long time, I didn't know it. But one day while we were singing, for some reason, I heard something. I looked behind me, and we were in the kitchen. And over here was another dining part. And I looked, and the kitchen was over here, and here was dining part. We were in dining room, kitchen. And I looked over here, and that guy that wouldn't talk to anybody. I hope I can get back up.
Amen.
His tears was rolling down his face and dropping off his chin. And he was praying. I couldn't hear what he was praying, but he was praying. You know why? Because he knows the way.
Yes.
There might be a lot of things he forgot, but he knows the way. You might be able to trouble him about some things, but you won't be able to trouble him about the way. He's got the way, amen? And God would break through that fog and illuminate that mind, and he just worshiped God laying down there. And I got to watching. Every time I'd come preach, he'd do that. Every time. Now you listen to me. If you get in the perfect way, and you know you're in the way, and you know your destination, I promise you, by the authority of the Word of God, you will not miss your destination. You don't have to be troubled about that. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I won't be good enough. You won't.
That's right.
You never will be good enough. You'll try, but you'll never be good enough. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I don't know enough. All you got to do is know him.
Amen.
And then I thought of this. Verse 13. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, will it not be troubled because of prayer? You know, prayer is an obstacle remover.
That's right.
Amen. You know, you'll get these TV ads, you know, they say it removes dirt and tar and paint and, you know, all kind of stuff, you know. Well, prayer is the obstacle remover. Amen. It'll get things out of the way. And then, not only that, prayer is a blessing bringer.
Yes, sir.
Whenever we go through trouble and trial and heartache and all that stuff, the best thing to do, you don't try to understand it. Don't try to figure it out. Why did God do this? How come God did this to me? Just get off somewhere by yourself and weep and cry out if you have to. But pray. Prayer will get God's attention and he'll get you in touch with God. Amen.
Amen.
Some of the best praying I ever did was by myself.
Amen.
I mean, that's where you worship God, by yourself.
Right.
This is where you learn about God. And sometimes you'll get a little touch and get saved, amen, wave your hand a little bit. And by the way, Baptist, it's not against law for Baptists to wave your hand or say amen. Baptist was doing that before they ever heard of the Pentecostals, amen. And so you'll get in touch with God when you start praying. And sometimes God will move an obstacle. And sometimes he'll make you wait a while. Sometimes he'll just say no. But you'll always get in touch with God. And that's what he told us to do. He said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let me tell you something. Anything that God does for you answering prayer was so that the Son, Jesus Christ, can be glorified.
Amen. Thank you all.
It ain't cause you got a special gift of praying. Ain't nothing to praying. That's asking and receiving. It's because God wants his Son, Jesus Christ, to get the glory. That's why he answers prayer. That's why every prayer that we have answered will say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because if it wasn't for him, God wouldn't even hear our prayer. He's the one that's our mediator. He's our intercessor. He goes between us and God. And God hears him, and he hears us, and gives the message to God. And God says, okay, I'm going to do that, because that'll get you glory, son.
Yes.
When somebody gets saved, God ought to get the glory.
Yes.
When somebody gets baptized, God ought to get the glory.
Yes.
When somebody gets healed, God ought to get the glory. Amen. Whenever somebody gets married, God ought to get the glory. That's supposed to be a Christian ceremony too. Everything that the answer to prayer is to glorify his son. Now you'll see these TV preachers and people's glorifying them because they said they can sell you a little bit of 30 weight oil to put on you and it'll make you better. Well, glory to Leroy Jenkins. Is he still alive? Is he? I had a lot I could say about that, but I'm not. I'm in the pulpit. But look, what we'll do is give glory to the Son.
Amen.
Don't ever say, well, I worked it out. No, you didn't. If you're a child of God and you prayed about it, God worked it out. It may not always be your expected answer, but he's going to answer. Amen. So we'll not be troubled about that. And then because of this, look at verse 16, 17. We're almost through. I might get you home in time for a touchdown. We already had a couple here. Verse 16, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even, can you see that word? The what? Spirit, capital S. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot what?
Receive.
Amen. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We ought not be troubled because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, when you got saved, you didn't know it. I didn't know it. I didn't. If you'd have told me, it would have scared me. The day I got saved, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit moved into me that day. That's why he said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man, that's mankind, ladies, don't get upset and rewrite our Bible. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. I just about got these northerners not to eat dinner at night, but to eat supper. They eating supper. One of them come to me the other day and they said, we ate supper last night, preacher. I said, good, you're biblical. Jesus had the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. It wasn't dinner. Dinner's what we eat in the afternoon on Sunday. I ate Sunday dinner today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Meatloaf, glory to God. String beans, hallelujah. Amen. I ate Sunday dinner. I ate supper at night. Amen.
Right.
Amen. And so the Holy Spirit moves in and he lives with you and he sups with you and he walks with you and he talks with you and he comforts you and he teaches you and he gives you power. He gives you power to live for God, power to live right, power to witness, power to understand the scriptures, power to speak for God. The Holy Spirit moves in. Why should we be troubled if he's on the inside doing all that? If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost of God, we'd be blind to the scriptures. We'd be lost and going to hell. And if we was saved, we wouldn't know how to be a good Christian without him.
Amen.
You couldn't understand the Bible without him.
No.
I remember before I got saved, I tried to read the Bible and I couldn't understand it. It sounded just like somebody was on LSD. I couldn't understand that. They had spinning wheels and had fire-breathing dragons and had lions and they had... I said, whoa, man, I can't understand this stuff. But then I got saved and immediately I started reading it. And I didn't have to to go to catechism class to understand it? I just understood it because, see, if the Holy Spirit, the one that wrote it, living in me, was now reading it with me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It makes it a whole lot easier when the author tells you what it says.
Yeah.
Amen. I wouldn't go to church where they didn't believe that either, by the way.
Yeah.
If they don't believe the Holy Ghost of God moved into you and teaches you and guides you and delivers you and sanctifies you, sets you apart for his service, I wouldn't even go there. Amen. Because, see, things are going to come in your life that's going to trouble you. And if you don't realize he's in there trying to help you through these situations, you're going to be troubled. You're going to be down at the doctor's office. You're going to be over there at some psychoanalyst, something this, something that. And I'm not against anybody that can help. But I'm telling you this, I ought not be troubled because of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
What was that song we used to sing in children's church? God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. God's not dead. No, he's still alive. I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. Woo! I feel him all over me. When you see that children's church, they loved it. Amen. I probably left off the verse. I don't know. But anyway, hey, I don't know what I'd do without that. Now, I've been preaching 37 years. I've been saved about a couple of years before that. And I've been through some terrible times. You think you're the only one who goes through troubled times? Everybody goes through troubled times. You know who comes through them? Those who are not troubled. And you know how they're not troubled? It's because they, I'm not saying we never get troubled, but I'm saying if we keep coming back to this and keep coming back to this and keep coming back to this, we'll get through the trouble.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And somehow God will get glory out of it.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And then last but not least, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Now the world's peace is going to come out of a heroin shot.
Yeah.
Or a marijuana joint.
Yeah.
Or a sniff of snort or something. Or a pill or some kind like that. He said, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, I'm going to leave peace with you.
Amen.
Now, before you were saved, you were troubled. You had no peace. I'd lay awake at night and couldn't sleep, worried about it. I'd have nightmares about going to hell or getting left behind in the rapture or something, you know. Couldn't go to sleep. And everybody I knew was like that. Everybody I knew was searching for a way to get some peace. And as young people, I'm still pretty young, you know. I'm not that old. Born in 54. I'm born in 54. And if we so old and we wrote such bad music and stuff, why are y'all still listening to it? But we sang a lot about peace. We sang a lot about peace. We didn't know what peace was, but we were looking for it. We didn't know what love was, you know, but we were looking for it. We knew that it was out there somewhere. We just didn't know where to find it. Until March the 5th, 1978, as a 23-year-old young man, I walked down the aisle and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and the peace of God moved into my heart. Now, I've had troubled times since then, but I've never lost that peace. I know in my worst day, I know that He's there. In my worst situation, worst failure, worst heartbreak, worst disappointment, I know He is there.
Amen.
I think it was 1968, New York Times came out with the front page headline. Scientists and philosophers and teachers or something has finally made a decision that God is dead. They did that. That was on New York Times front page. And I don't know, I wasn't there, but this preacher of mine told me, said they asked this old black bishop, preacher, asked him, said, what do you think about that headline? He said, well, if God be dead, who's this living way down in my soul?
Amen.
On my most troubled times, He gives me peace that passes understanding. And people will look at you, they'll say, I don't know how you do it. You say, I don't either. I don't know how you live through this. I don't either. If it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't. Well, I don't see how you make it this way. How in the world can you endure this? I don't know. It's Him that does it. I don't know. I have preached the funeral of just about every one of my siblings. I had four brothers and four sisters and myself. And before I'd preach, I'd say, Lord, I don't think I can do this. Nobody else could do it. And they expected me to do it. And I got up and I preached their funerals. Because God gave me the peace.
Amen.
I preached friends and family's funeral, in-laws. And I couldn't do it without the peace of God. I couldn't do it. I'm going to tell you something else too. I gave away my three daughters in marriage and I couldn't have done that without the peace of God. That was almost like a death right there to me. My daughter took my grandkids to Florida to stay. About 12 hours from here. I said, I won't ever get to see them. I felt like they died. You know how you get through that? The peace of God. I was in the room when my mama passed. The peace of God was there. I was in the room when some of my siblings passed and the peace of God was there. Look, peace, wonderful peace. Look, there's nothing else like it. He said, don't be troubled. I'm going to give you some peace. Now, here's the question. Are you troubled? Are you troubled? Then think about that new home. Think about following His way. Think about praying without ceasing. Think about listening to His Spirit. And then receive His peace. You're not going to get it unless you receive it.
Amen.
You know, it's almost like some people don't want it. Now, I preached other funerals where people had no peace and didn't want it. Screaming, hollering, drunk, cussing, fighting. Yeah, I'm telling you, on more than two occasions, they went to the casket and tried to get the person out at the cemetery. Dove in with them, screaming, hollering. You know what I said? I'm going home. I can't help these people. But then I preached other funerals where people said, well, he's at home with the Lord. I'd rather him be there than to be here. And one day I'll see him. Or one day I'll see her again. I've been to the hospital. People, doctors said, you got cancer. You ain't got but a couple weeks to live. And they say, preacher, I'm not worried about it. I'm never going to die. I'm going to live as long as God lives. In a few weeks, I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to wake them up on the other side. Amen. That's the peace of God. That's the peace that passes all understanding. You can't buy it. You can't bargain it. God has to give you that through His Holy Spirit. So tonight, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Now, if you got a troubled heart, and I'm sure some people in here's got a troubled heart tonight over something, give it to Him. Give it to Jesus. Depend on the Holy Spirit to guide you. And I promise you, it won't be long, you'll come out of it, and you'll give Him the glory. If you're not saved, though, you're not going to have the peace of God. Because you're refusing it. Those of you who are saved, we've received it. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. We accepted Jesus as our Savior, and He brought the peace of God into us. Now, we can still forget it if you want to and try to depend on your own works or some doctor or something. But even after we receive it, we still have to receive it in times of trouble. Lord, give me peace. Amen. Lord, give me peace. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our hearts, in our families, in our church. In Jesus' name, amen.